Goldberg, 9-1.
You mean for that statement I got out congratulating you?
No, your policy is the correct policy.
Well, you did a good job. I put out a statement. I'm here with Hubert and all the legislative leaders this morning. They all went out and bragged on you, and we got out a strong statement, and we had a fine...
Hello. Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hello, officer.
Oh, he must have hung up, Mr. President. Let me get him back for you.
Yes? Yes?
Yes, I'm sorry. We cut off.
Well, you just started. You haven't got anything. You just got the pop guns laid up on the shelf for the moment. Now, the only way you got that was telling them you were going to negotiate this whole thing out. And you fellas got a hell of a reputation as a negotiator, and you just starting. You haven't won a war at all. You just won one little skirmish.
You don't think I went aware of that?
I know you're aware of it. I told Iopcon this morning.
Did he call you?
Yes, sir. And I said, I'll guarantee you that Goldberg will resolve this Kashmir thing, or he'll run me and you both crazy.
Well, I have some ideas about that. When did he call?
He called me, early sometime during the morning, after I got rid of the leaders, the middle of the morning. And I read him what we had said about you and about him and about Mr. Shastri, and I said, now we cannot pledge ourselves to any particular type of negotiated settlement, but we do pledge ourselves to solving these underlying problems. And the United Nations has just begun. This is just one little step, and quit threatening to put it out of business. And let's just go on from here. I told all the leaders this morning about the quality of your delegation compared to the other delegation, and that your new delegation was off to a good start. They still say you got Jimmy Roosevelt running up down the corridors here, talking about private bills and so forth, but I told him that you had them all working around the clock, 4:30 this morning. I turned over, they said Goldberg's gone to sleep now and got everything worked out. So Hubert came out and told him that we were just starting with the United Nations. All the Congress is happy with it. McCormick came out and made a big statement. Have you read his statement?
No, I just got up.
Well, wait a minute. Let me read to you. This is just starting on the statement now. This is a ticker. I speak for every Johnson's statement said, I speak for every American when I commend the statesmanship and the restraint shown by the leaders of Pakistan and India in their acceptance ceasefire call of the United Nations Security Council. The leadership shown in both nations takes us a long step away from the terrible dangers which have threatened the subcontinent of Asia. On behalf of the American people, I want to express our deep appreciation and gratitude to Secretary General Yuton for his fairness and his firmness in the service of peace in these last few weeks. I am especially proud of our own. I intended to say my own, but I thought that I better put our because you might be. Our own gifted, whatever that means, gifted ambassador, Arthur Goldberg, and members of his new UN team. As president of the Security Council, he has given his able and his untiring support to the efforts of the Secretary General. We now hope that both nations, in the spirit of the Security Council resolution, will move forward to peaceful settlement of their outstanding differences. The job of the United Nations has just begun. I will fully support it every step of the way by our actions and our words. White House Press Secretary Moyer said there's been no recent contact between Johnson and Prime Minister Shastri, but they had remained in frequent communication through diplomatic and private channels. Now let me show you what help me, Hubert, watch it here. Without fanfare, Johnson kept track of the crisis through Rusk and Ambassador Goldberg. White House officials said Johnson felt deeply and personally that the Indo-Pakistan crisis was a serious moment in the United Nations history. And he repeatedly told Rusk and Goldberg to give the Secretary General every assurance that as far as this country was concerned, Utah was carrying the ball as well as quarterback in the game. Now, if you want me to, I'll call him.
I think that would be very good. So I think if you told the Secretary General that, I think that would be very good.
Johnson praised the leaders of India and Pakistan. He issued a statement. The White House said we're agreeing to ceasefire out of respect the opinions of the leaders of the world. Pakistan president told Johnson he was... You know what he said, don't you? He said that he was done for just one reason, that he was a friend of this country and we were their friends, and he had confidence in us and our integrity, and he believed if we said that we would negotiate this thing, we would, and that he was going to do it and rely on us to do it, and that he was not messing with the Chinese or the Russians either, that the Russians were doing this for political purposes, and that he didn't want the Chinese doing anything, and that he was ready and willing, and we just try to negotiate.
Well, I think that's wonderful. I think he means it.
The speaker said that it brings additional hope and confidence to the people throughout the world. A most sensitive, dangerous, and delicate situation, and expressed hope that negotiations would take place instead of shooting. Mansfield joined in praising Goldberg. He said the ambassador had the full confidence of the president and of the Congress, and he's representing us ably and well. Mansfield also commended Minister Shastri and Pakistan Khan for their statesmanship in agreeing to cease fire. He voiced the hope that some sort of stability can be achieved and negotiated. And Democratic congressional leaders hailed the Indian-Pakistan ceasefire and paid tribute to United Nations and U.S. Ambassador Arthur Goldberg for bringing it about. House Speaker McCormick told newsmen that there's considerable discussion of the world situation at the morning White House regular breakfast meeting of Johnson and the leaders. McCormick said the leadership expressed high compliments for the job done by Goldberg representing this country as chairman this month of the UN Security Council. All mankind feels a little more relieved than felt 24 hours ago, the speaker said. Speaker said the ceasefire should bring hope and confidence, and constructive action taken by members of the United Nations has eased the most sensitive and delicate thing.
Well, I appreciate that, but you called the shots, and you called them right, and I will have a little something to say about that. I'll be talking to the press, and I'm going to say that the president felt and the staff has correctly felt that this was the agency. And that is correct. That happens to be the truth. I'm a great believer, Mr. President, in the truth.
That's right. Well, Johnson feels that, here's what it says, Johnson feels the UN reached one of its most serious moments in tackling the Pakistan-Indian situation, that failure to win a ceasefire might have undermined the organization. It was Ayub who suggested news conference last week that Johnson intervened personally. Johnson personally and through spokesman responded by saying the United States was fully backing the UN efforts. On Sunday, White House sources disclosed the president told Ambassador Goldberg that if we wanted to liquidate the UN, he would involve himself unilaterally in the Asian dispute. Moyers was asked if there's any prospect now of reinstatement of Washington's visit by Aube and Chastry. Visits post last spring at Johnson's request. I wouldn't rule it in or out, Moyers said.
Right.
Now, he said he's coming just as soon as you quit firing at his head over there.
Okay. Well, I'm delighted.
But I'll tell you this now, he thinks that we're pro-Indian and we're not giving him a fair chance, and he said he's just going to bet one thing, that he would bet that we had some negotiators up there and that we would be fair, and that's all he wanted. So I thought he was pretty good shape.
Yeah, I had a long talk with Pluto last night.
Well, you sold him because he's got the word, and this fella thinks that we are going to hold their feet to fire and negotiate, and I think we ought to.
Well, we ought to. We have to as a matter of honor.
We got to carry through now, and yeah. I'm going to continue this thing that you all talked about yesterday for 30 days on the food thing. Oh, wait, Hubert wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Hubert, pick up your, come here, get this one.
Arthur?
Vice President?
You're a champion.
Well, only because I've got some good managers.
I'll tell you, the president and the leaders this morning were just so praiseworthy of you. You'd have been proud. Your ears must have buzzed.
Well, thanks very much, Hubert, but I could do it without good managers.
Well, that's...
Good support, which I have.
You got a great team up there, too, partner.
Yes, we do.
You really have. You can be mighty proud of them. And,
I am. You should have seen Eugenie perform at a luncheon the other day. It did my heart good.
Oh, that's great.
And they're working around the clock.
Good deal.
But,
you got a tough assignment.
Yeah, it is tough. But it's satisfying when you can save some lives.
Yeah. Well, you're putting new life into that organization, Arthur. You really are.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. God bless you, boy.
Okay. Mr. President, there, I want to say something. One word.
Yeah.
Mr. President, he wanted to have one more word with you there.
Hello?
I'm going over now to visit with your friend in the AFL-CIO. You got anything that you want me to say to them? They have a meeting down here, and I'm going to talk to them at lunch.
Well, Hubert probably can tell you about that better than I can, but my judgment is that we're in a real critical thing here in the Senate with them right now.
Uh-huh.
Now, what they have done, they've got 50 to 60 votes for 14B.
Right.
But if you want to know the honest truth, in my judgment, and I guess Hubert can tell you, out of the 50, there are not 10 of them that really mean to stay here and fight this thing through. And they tell Meany and them one thing, and then they tell Mansfield and them another thing. And Mansfield said this morning that he's going to bring it up and he's going to try his best, but there's not anybody that really thinks that they got enough of a cloture or that they can do anything about it. And what the whole question then is down is what they want to do. I think that Meany ought to get in here with the two or three best men he's got, whoever he wants, besides B. Miller, bring in three or four of his top labor people. They ought to sit down with Mansfield, and they ought to sit down with Long, and they ought to sit down with the other people, Douglas, Morris, the vice president, and me. I'll sit down and talk to them anytime I want to and try to figure out what they want to do. Now, I don't believe that they got the right picture.
Right. I'll talk to you.
Now, I'll call Utah.
Yes.
You got any other suggestions?
No, that's fine. I'll be talking to you again. Did you see the letter I sent to Kraft?
No.
I'll send it to you.
All right, good. Okay. Well, we'll just do it every day. Watch the rest of them, and whenever they get off, we'll just do it every day.
Okay, you get a hold of this one.
I took up this new delegation this morning with the leaders, and the vice president started off, said it's the strongest delegation we've had to you in. And then all the rest of them said the same thing. Mansfield spoke up and said it's a good delegation. So I guess you'll have to satisfy Mary. I don't know.
I'm satisfied,
well, I'm not...
Very good.
All right, come on.